Come on, Peggy, let us know how you came to know of Baba first.
Oh, Eric, I told him. I'll tell again if you like. I think the story that Michael and I have is even better.
How? Their meeting.
How did you both... Who brought you here to this time? Michael brought you or you brought him?
What do you say, Michael?
Baba brought us. He told me that his bedroom in Myrtle Beach twice over the last 2 years that I could come soon. And that he was not taking any debate about the issue.
Right.
He was, and I, hey, wait, God doesn't speak to people. I mean, he and I don't hear voices. There were voices there. A voice, a voice.
Really?
I guess it's hard to say it's like a voice. It was just, there were just, it just knocked on my head.
Good.
Go to India.
But this...
Before getting married?
Yes. The first time we were not married, and we were living in the, you know, different cabins. And then the second time we were married, and we were staying in one of the cabins. And both times, 87 and the last Christmas time, Myrtle Beach and the bedroom, he was pretty emphatic about coming to India.
Eric, so the story how they met is wonderful.
What is the story of how you both met?
Well, Michael starts.
Why, did you have your lunch today, Peggy?
Yes, I did. I'm fine. We've discussed this.
Oh, between the two of you.
Yeah, his part comes first.
Okay.
Well, I guess I've been a God seeker, like right here, I'm sure, one time or other, since I was about 10 years old. And, you know, tried the churches and the synagogues and the faiths. And my mother had been involved with a group called the Summit Lighthouse, run by Elizabeth Carter Prophet in the late 60s, early 70s. And that was a metaphysical group in Colorado. Now they're in California. And their idea is having gods of many gods. I mean, there's God, but there's all these levels. It's like a pantheon of gods.
Yeah.
And that was about the last early 70s I decided that was too many gods. I needed a little more direct source, but I'd run out of places to look. You know, the churches didn't have it, synagogues didn't have it, temples didn't have it. The metaphysicians didn't have it. Then the Chandlers came along a few years ago. You know, but they all got hung up. The Chandlers get hung up on, well, you know, I'm the voice of Ram Dass or Ram Jew or someone else from 35,000 BC or Hunk Ra or something like that. And they get involved in this ongoing and say, yeah, but you know, you've got this power to look inside yourself, maybe see your past lives, which is it's okay, but so what? But why don't you use that power to talk, you know, visit with God, talk to God, know God, and then know yourself. Oh, well, no, we have to go through these, you know, we have to channel. We have to get people to channel for us. And, of course, they need money, they need nice cars and stuff. And I go, this is crazy. This is just a new phony baloney act, another, you know, TV evangelist. So I decided that there wasn't much going in the way of finding God anymore at this point. And so I started praying. But I wanted to meet a spiritual woman. I had gone through a long and messy divorce. It was a very materialistic kind of relationship. And I wanted a spiritual woman. And I prayed for that. And I prayed to God. I knew nothing about Bob at all. And a week later, I picked up a newsletter, a weekly newsletter that basically just had, you know, gossip and stuff in it. But in the back, there were hundreds of personnel ads. You know, young, divorced, white female searching for this and that, or young, divorced, white male looking for a tall, blonde lady. And there was hundreds of ads, women writing ads in there, and I got it down to 6.
In the newsletter?
Yeah.
That's
very common now. It's a very safe way for women to meet men in the United States.
It's just like Indian newspapers.
Yeah, newspapers.
It's very safe.
Ads.
You don't have to you don't have to go to a bar to meet some creep and have trouble, you know, if you go out with them or her or whatever. And so I whittle it down to these 6 women who are all intelligent, educated, wanting men like candlelit dinners, walks in the rain. I mean, pretty standard. But the one thing Peggy set hers off is she had an interest in Sufi poetry. And I like that because I taught myself a Sufi meditative dance years and years ago. And I was interested in the way Sufis looked kind of just focused on the oneness of God. And, you know, that's all the other garbage people attach to it. And so I wrote her a letter, and take it away, baby.
I was dating Erich for several years, and no one came along that really had any interest in God. And I thought, well, this is for the birds. I mean, I'm not going to meet anyone in my living room, and I'm not going to meet anyone moaning and complaining, and I'm not going to meet anyone on my job.
So or in the Bible meetings.
Or in the Bible meetings. No, Bible groups, no, right. Nowhere. So finally I decided I'll advertise. Why not? And this was a New Year's Eve. It was one of those New Year's Eves where you have a slumber party with the ladies, and you're really miserable because you'd rather be out having a nice date with someone. And so I went home early. It was 2 in the morning. I sat down on my computer, and I started writing an ad. And my ad said something like, you know, tall woman, red hair, blue eyes, desires to meet man with warm heart, sharp mind, and dry wit. And then I told about how I wanted someone that, you know, liked to do lots of different things. And I tried to think for so long about what could I put in my ad that would express an interest in spirituality that wouldn't chase people away. So finally I thought, well, of all the things I can think of, the other thing that's closest to loving is the way Sufis express their love in poetry. So I put in Sufi poetry. And I had, this was addressed to a post office box, and I asked, I said, photo appreciated, and I got 40 letters. And met a lot of different men, and I met Michael, and he was very, very special.
What number was he?
I don't know. maybe best at forgetting. So we talked on the phone. I tried to reach him. He kept saying, call after 9 o'clock. Well, that didn't exist. He wasn't at home. So finally I wrote him a letter, and that's when he'd written to me. And we talked on the phone about 3 different times, and then he asked me to go out. And we talked a lot about God on the phone. And I really felt very, very positive about him. You want to tell the next part?
Well, we decided to go out for dinner. The only time she or I were available were on, she had all these dates to meet in between. It's 8:45 on a Sunday morning. I can squeeze you in. we agreed to meet on a Sunday evening, and what surprised me was because the advantage of doing personal letters is the woman can, she never gives you her phone number, so she's not going to have these bad guys calling up. She can call the man, and then she can agree to meet him at maybe a restaurant where there's a lot of people, and she can feel safe, maybe bring a friend of hers along, or a brother, or whatever, just in case the guy turns out to be a real priest. And so she said, come over to her house. So I came over to her house. I was kind of surprised at that, but she trusted me. But our conversations have been pretty good on the phone. So met her, we talked some, and I was attracted to her, very lovely lady, very intelligent lady. Pretty shy at first, because the circumstances would warrant that. So we went out to dinner and had a really good dinner, enjoyable time, and she said that she had to go somewhere afterwards, some kind of meeting. And I don't remember the exact words, but it was, well, what kind of meeting? And she said, you're better at words like that, what you said and what I said.
Well, it was January 31st. Mm-hmm. So we were going, I was going to Dixon Staples' house for Amartithi meeting.
Whose house?
Dixon Staples.
Denver.
And we went out early to dinner so I could go to this meeting. And Michael says, what's this meeting? And I said, well, it's the death anniversary of Avatar Meher Baba. And he said, well, who's this guy? And I said, I believe that he is God. And so Michael said, well, you know, can I come along? And at this point, I'm so amazed. You've probably just said to hundreds of people something about Meher Baba, and how many people say they want to come right off? It's unusual. So he came along to the meeting, and it was quite a few people. We all sat in the living room. It was after we'd had a nice time together.
Dixon was reading from The Awakener about the last darshan. And I was pretty impressed by that. But it was still a lot of words, and I heard a lot of people say a lot of words and stuff. And there was a picture by Lynn Ott up on their mantle over the fireplace about Baba, and I wasn't real impressed with the style of the painting. But the eyes were so powerful, and I kept on looking back and said, you know, there's a painter's trick is to paint the eyes to follow you around the room. But these didn't follow me. They just pinned me to the chair. They just walked. But there wasn't a stare, or there wasn't anger. It was just like, I felt this kind of really good feeling inside looking at his eyes. And Then there was a moment of silence after, we always have a moment of silence after the reading, but he said, let's have a moment of silence. I said, fine. So we sat there and all closed our eyes. And for
at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Afternoon.
No.
When do you all observe silence?
Actually, this was later in the day. I think our gathering was about 8 p.m.
So this would be about 10 o'clock at night. So we have silence for a minute or two or three after. And I just closed my eyes and I just felt like all around me were these little glows of warm light. Peggy right next to me had this beautiful, warm, golden glow. And I go, this person's really special. This, you know, a lot of people don't give off a lot of golden light. I sense from that the Bible lovers tend to be up there amongst the most of them that do. It just is that way.
Except for Marshall, he got that award for the least progress.
Well, that's why I wasn't invited to attend this meeting.
Right or bold, that's right. And there was other people that had very, you know, varying degrees of brightness. But then I just all of a sudden this feeling washed over me that I had found God. That God was here in this meeting, and God was everywhere. Not just the meeting, but it was like, it just, everything opened up to God. It was all God, every bit of it. The ant, the rock, the people, the ceiling, everything was God. And that was I was hooked. Hey, I still am. What can I say? I went to the tomb, you know, a few days ago, first time in my life, and you all can remember your first time. It's how powerful.
So that was your first date with Peggy,
huh? Yeah. And then I knew our second date, which was the next day for lunch, that I could spend the rest of my life with her, and we're making a stab at it.
Yeah. So we've been together now a year and 7 months, and it's been very good. It's not easy being married in the middle of your life, because you've established so many habits but we both care very much about each other and want this to last for a very long time. So.
Baba is very strong in the relationship too. I'm very glad that we both believe in Baba, both love God.
It's a great blessing, Brother Michael. Yeah, it is.
We have to tell ourselves that all the time, though. We can't let it slide, because if it slides, it slides. We have to work that much harder to bring it back.
Indeed, it's a blessing.